ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ.
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 ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವಿಂ ಸರಸ್ವತಿಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇ ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಅಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ ಭಗವತಿ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ದೇವಕೀ ನಂದನಾಯ ಚ ನಂದಗೋಪಕುಮಾರಾಯ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕಯಾ ಚಕ್ಷುರೋನ್ಮಿಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ. ನಮ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೇ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನ್ ಇತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ
ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೇ
ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶ ತಾರಿಣೇ ವಂಶಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ನಮೋ ಮಹಾವದನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರದಾಯತೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮ್ನೇ ಗೌರದ್ವಿಷೇ ನಮಃ. ಪಂಚತತ್ವಾತ್ಮಕಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ಭಕ್ತರೂಪಸ್ವರೂಪಕ ಭಕ್ತಾವತಾರಂ ಭಕ್ತಾಖ್ಯಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಭಕ್ತಶಕ್ತಿಕಾ. ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧು ದೀನಬಂಧು ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೇ ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗೀ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ
ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ
ಹರೇ ರಾಮ
ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ
ರಾಮ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ
ರಾಮ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ
ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ ಐ ಫೀಲ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ರೀಮ್ಲಿ ಆನರ್ಡ್ ಗಿವನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಅಪಾರ್ಚುನಿಟಿ ಟು ಸ್ಪೀಕ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಅಟ್ ಸೋಹೋ ಸ್ಟ್ರೀಟ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಆಸ್ಪಿಷಿಯಸ್ ಅಪಿಯರೆನ್ಸ್ ಡೇ ಆಫ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಜೀಸಸ್ ಕ್ರೈಸ್ಟ್. and I would like to seek the blessings of His Holiness Kavichandra Swami Maharaj, one of the very senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada and all the other Vaishnavas, so that I could speak something on this occasion. So, this is a season where people exchange gifts. So I was thinking of speaking on this verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Eirupaya chandale kirtana sanchare nama prema malaganthi purila samsare. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us various gifts. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, who appeared in the form of his devotee. Eirupe achandale kirtana samchare. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't distinguish between the high and the low, qualified and unqualified, while giving these gifts. And what is his main gift? Kirtana sanchare. The glorification of Krishna through the loud chanting of the holy names. Nama prema mala ganthe podela sansare. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is garlanding the whole world, all the souls within this creation, with a beautiful garland. Krishna says in Gita, patram pushpam phalam toyam, offer me a flower. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes one step ahead and says, I know you are not going to offer me anything, but I will offer you a garland. What you can do is accept that. Nama prema mala ganthi porela sansare. So the garland which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is offering is made out of flowers of love. It is a garland of pure love of Krishna which is offering. And that garland is strung on the thread of the holy name. Nama prema mala ganthe podela sansare. And in this way he is offering this beautiful ecstatic garland to all the souls to deliver them. So Srila Prabhupada, being a pure representative of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, understood this mood and the mission of the Lord perfectly. And thus he established ISKCON Society to distribute this gift in a tangible way for the conditioned souls to perceive and appreciate. So therefore, what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave 500 years back, that same gift Srila Prabhupada gave us, and he has given us this responsibility of distributing these gifts further. And there are three ways in which Srila Prabhupada expects us to distribute these wonderful gifts of the Lord. And these three are: first is distribution of books, second is distribution of the name, and third is distribution of Krishna Prasad. So these three manifestations of the Lord's mercy, ISKCON Society is primarily engaged in distributing. These are the main gifts which we want to exchange with the people of this world. So therefore, first accept it, get nourished, and then distribute like that. So the first aspect is the books. As everyone is all over the world in ISKCON is participating in the book marathon, and Janitha Prabhu also gave me the auspicious news that book distributors here, the brahmacharis and the congregation, have managed to reach their targets for the book distribution marathon. So this shows that everyone has been very enthusiastic in distributing these books. But the most important principle to understand that it is an act of compassion on the conditioned souls. Just like during the World War II, the Red Cross, they had set up a system because they were dealing with so many wounded soldiers and they had such little manpower, they couldn't deal with all of them. So they had set up their own system, that there would be a group of nurses who would actually identify the different categories of wounded soldiers So someone who was seriously wounded and had no chance for survival would get a red band on their arm. And someone who could, upon performing a surgery, be saved or salvaged, he would get like a blue band. And someone who was not so sick and he just needed a little bit, you know, care and attention, would get a green band. So there is a story of one gentleman who was seriously wounded. There was absolutely no chance for his survival, and the nurse put a red band on him because she knew that there is no way any amount of medication or surgery or whatever can be done. It's a critical case, it's finished, he can't survive. And everyone in the army knew what is the meaning of these bands. So as soon as he got this red band, he realized, I'm finished. That means no one is going to look at me, I'm simply going to decay and die. That's it. So somehow, he couldn't speak because he was so wounded and he was bleeding profusely. But because his desire to survive was so intense, that emotion showed in his eyes. And he was kind of pleading with whatever little attempt he could make with his body language. He conveyed the message to this nurse that I want to live. And she had already passed him off and gone to the other soldiers, but somehow the Paramatma within stirred. And, you know, she turned around to this soldier again and called him. And then again, she went near him, ripped off that red band and put a blue band and gave him a chance to be seen by a surgeon. And when the surgeon saw this patient, he thought, maybe the nurse has made a mistake. There is no chance for this fellow's survival. There is no point in my even trying to look at him, but somehow he gave some attention, did his surgery to the best of his ability, left the rest to God, and by God's grace, that man who had practically 0.01% to survive, he survived. And the war ended, and he went back to America, and he went on to become a multi-millionaire. He became a very successful businessman. He had businesses all over the world. And then he wrote a book. And in that book, he explained how he's so grateful to that one act, because he was practically finished on that day. But because that nurse changed his band from red to blue, he survived. That one small act changed the course of his whole life. So practically speaking, in Kali Yuga, everyone is walking around with multiple red bands, not to speak of one. Everyone is determined to go to hell. Dridavrata. Prahlad Maharaj says, which is costlier, to go to hell or to go back to Godhead? And Prahlad Maharaj says, to go to hell, you need to eat meat, which costs money. You need to drink liquor, which costs a lot of money. You need to have illicit sex and gambling, which also costs a lot of money. So you pay a lot of money to ultimately go to hell. And if you have to go back to Godhead, you come into the association of devotees, which is free. You sit and hear Harikatha, which is free. You know, you dance in the Kirtan, which is free. You know, one of the famous discotheques in Bombay, right very close to Chowpatty, our temple, is called RG's. The RG's. And you have to pay through your nose to get into that. And you dance, and then whatever drinks and other food you eat is also like 10 times more than what's outside. So one person came to our temple, and you know, he said, well, I regularly frequent this RG's, so I don't have time on this Sunday, you know, to come to your program and everything. So we said, this is also RG's, Radha Gopinath. But on top of that, you get everything free. So he actually came for a program, and he danced in the Kirtan, and he was saying, wow, it's all free, you can dance. And the prasad after that was also free, he enjoyed. And after the first program, he said, everything was great. Only thing is, women and men were separate. But then we explained to him the philosophy, and then over a period of time, he became completely convinced, and is now one of our very fired up. He's now initiated, he's a congregation devotee. So, going back to Godhead is relatively much simpler in that sense, even economical. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada has given us these books to distribute. So when you stop anyone on the streets, you're not just stopping them physically, but practically speaking, that soul's journey, it's on a path determined to go to hell. That soul is going towards hell, on the highway to hell. So you're like a traffic policeman, you're coming in the way and giving a U-turn to that soul. That turn around and travel towards a different path. Travel on a different path towards a different destination. So therefore these books, Srila Prabhupada emphasized, distribute like anything. Recently Mahamuni Prabhu was there in Chaupati and he was telling an interesting story that one of the early book distributors, very fired up, was Daivi Shakti Mata. She is now in Vrindavan. And her record, her average book distribution record was like, she would distribute so many Mahabik books, but more than that, she would bring at least 2 to 5 bhaktas every day to the temple. That was her collection, you know. So, as of today, it appears practically impossible to imagine. You go out, distribute books and bring 4 or 5 people also to the temple. So, she was out distributing books and she met one gentleman. And he was inquisitive, so she showed him one book. And then he said, "Yeah, I like this book." So she put one more book. He said, "Yeah, this also seems to be good." She put 2-3 more books. So before he realized, his whole hand was filled with books. And then he said, "How much do I have to pay for it?" So she said, "Well, whatever donation you can make, it will be, you know, very much appreciated." So he said, "Okay, but only problem is the books are in my hand and my wallet is in my pocket, you know." So she said, "No problem, I'll take it out for you." So she took out the wallet and she opened the wallet and took out all the money in that and kept it and put the wallet back in his pocket. He said, "Come on, this is all the money I have. You can't do this to me. I have to go back. I need some money for my ticket." So she took out from that money the minimum fare and then she gave it back. And from a distance there was a policeman, a cop, who was watching this, and the cop thought that this is a hold up and he came, "Jai Jagannath Bolde Sundara Maya Ki, Radha Landaneshwar Ki." And the cop thought that here is a lady who is stealing something from someone, and the cop came and said, "Everything all right?" And he said, yes, everything all right. And she said, "You can ask him, there's no problem." I said, "What is she doing? Why is she taking the wallet from your pocket?" He said, no, I purchased this, you know, and I couldn't take out the money and blah, blah, blah." I said, "Are you sure?" He asked 10 times, "Are you sure?" I said, yes, don't worry. So finally the cops went. And this lady said, "Maybe I can even come to your house and maybe you can make a donation for the temple in your checkbook." So she actually went to the house of this gentleman, and you know, she actually took a donation also on the first day, apart from the books which she sold. And this gentleman ultimately became Chandramouli Swami Maharaj. So recently in Chaupati, Chandramouli Maharaj and Mahamuni Prabhu were both there, and I had invited Navin Neerad Prabhu from Mayapur to give a pep talk, you know, on the first day of our marathon. Our target this year was 100,000 Mahabik books. So we needed our Sankirtan Inchar was very clever. What he did was, when the books came from the godown in Juhu, he unloaded it right in the temple courtyard, in front of the whole corridor, in front of the main gates, you know, the place where people would relax and sit. He just, the whole place was filled with books. And people came and said, "What's going on?" He said, "Well, marathon. If you have to relax here, sell them. If you distribute, then this will be unloaded." So, we found that when so many devotees get involved in distributing books, things become very simple. And in fact, even 2 to 3 days, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj went to the train stations. And he was also there for 2 to 3 hours, you know, standing and distributing books. And when he was distributing books, all the devotees got the news and they came and bought books. Those devotees were supposed to be distributing books. They came and they said, oh, with a signature, okay. This is the opportunity. So he was going from station to station, you know, at least 2-3 stations he went and stood and distributed books. And all the devotees all over Mumbai, they were really fired up with this marathon. So we could also see that everyone feels like it's like an army. One lady came and said, she's pretty new and she's like a fashion designer and she moves in the high society. And she's been coming to the temple for some time and she found out that everyone is fired up about something. Said, what's going on? Well, we are all distributing books. Well, oh, these books on the courtyard? We can also distribute them? Well, yeah. Well, what will happen if we distribute? Well, Srila Prabhupada, he will be pleased. Maharaj will be pleased. You will get special blessings of Krishna. She said, really? I never knew that. Well, that's why this whole seminar is for, to let you know. So from next day, she got so fired up, her daily score is 300 to 500 Mahabig books. And one day, she distributed 1,500. That means she doesn't go actually. She calls all her contacts, you know, blah, 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 blah. Why don't you take 500? Well, okay, no problem. And she just distributes like that. So already she must have distributed 5,000 to 7,000 books. You know, Mahabig books, like Bhagavad Gita's and Krishna's, like that. So just by getting the whole community together, it becomes so much more exciting and simpler. And I was telling the story of one book distributor in Russia. This was during the communist regime, and he was trying to distribute books. And there was one ruffian on the streets who caught hold of him and beat him up. And he was beating him up like anything. And a KGB agent saw that. And immediately he came to intervene and stop this, you know, ruffian from beating up the devotee. He thought, what is this going on? This is injustice. So the KGB agent is experienced and trained in all these kinds of, you know, fighting techniques. But according to law, KGB law, you're not allowed to engage in any street fight. But he thought, forget the law. Some innocent fellow is getting beaten up. I must save it. So he went, intervened, stopped him. And as soon as that fellow went away, this KGB agent wanted to escape without getting into a conversation with this devotee. So he was running away and the devotee started chasing him. He said, stop, stop, stop. I want to thank you. You saved me from getting beaten up. He said, no, 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 don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. I'm not allowed to speak with you. He says, no, no, but I must thank you. And I want to gift you something. And he gave him a Bhagavad Gita. And he immediately took the Gita, put in his briefcase and started running. He said, stop, stop, stop. He said, what happened now? Make a donation also if you want. He said, what the hell, man? I saved you. And still you want a donation. So he anyway gave him a donation, took the book, and he actually started reading it, and he was transformed. And how things operate in KGB is that for every spy, every KGB agent, there are other KGB agents who are also watching what he's doing. So there were some of his subordinates who were keeping a watch on him, and they reported to the headquarters that every morning this fellow is sending secret messages through a strange transmitter which we have never seen before. So what this fellow was doing was he actually started chanting Hare Krishna on beats. So the report went to the headquarters. Strange transmitter and secret messages. And he doesn't get up. He just sits with his eyes closed. So then other agents got involved and they all came to the conclusion, this man must be eliminated. Because he was already a trained KGB agent. He also knew when people are chasing me and when things are happening. So he knew that if I stay a few more days, I'll be killed. So somehow he smuggled himself out of the country, went to West Germany, and went and joined the temple there. And within 2 years, he became the temple president there in West Germany. So how he got that Sukriti was because he served, you know, someone who was distributing books by saving him, protecting him, acted like a Kshatriya. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he says that this material world is a place of misery, and people are looking for some kind of relief, and that relief is available only in the form of transcendental knowledge. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that sarvam jnana plave naiva vrajinam santarishyati. Transcendental knowledge is like a boat. It takes you across the ocean. Devotees were on a morning walk, and then one of the devotees saw the ocean. You know, the sun was setting, it was in the evening, and the devotee said, Srila Prabhupada, the ocean looks so beautiful, so attractive. And Prabhupada said, Maya is also like that, like the ocean. It looks attractive from a distance. And then once you go inside, you will get trapped. And then you will sink. And you cannot survive. So the waves of the ocean appear very attractive, enticing, and they invite you to come near. And then once you get involved within the waves, and then gradually you will be trapped. In Jagannath Puri, all of us have seen that the ocean looks so exciting. But everyone wants there, especially the lifeguards there, that don't go deep. If you go deep, you'll get sucked in, because the currents are so strong. And even like during our yatras, that is one of our biggest anxieties. We make announcements, repeated announcements. Please be very careful while swimming in this ocean. And especially the warning is for champion swimmers. Because the champion swimmers are the ones who think, oh, I can deal with this, no problem. So one of our devotees was in the Navy for many years. You know, Devanand Pandit Prabhu. So, you know, he started swimming and he went deep and deep and deep. And people were shouting, hey, come on. And he said, hey, relax. You know, I've dealt with this stuff before. And then when he went inside, somehow he was caught by a current. And he was being dragged deeper and deeper into the ocean. And people were wondering, why is he swimming so far ahead? But he was doing it helplessly. And then someone saw on his face, there was such a look of fear. Then they realized, this man is finished. But then, by Krishna's grace, by Lord Jagannath's grace, one big wave came from the other side and pushed him back. And he fell on the beach he lay there for quite some time. And the devotees came and said, what happened? He said, nothing, nothing, I was in control. Everyone could see that he was finished. So therefore, when we get Krishna when we start practicing Krishna consciousness, the danger increases even more. Because we now know what material energy is all about and what the dangers are, how the waves operate. And then we think, okay, we can deal with this very peacefully, very easily, very nicely. And that is when we get trapped even more. So one of our other devotees, his name was Gaur Jagannath, he went deep inside. You know, maybe in another yatra, but in Jagannath Puri only. And he got trapped. And he couldn't come out. Then the lifeguards had to jump in. And they swam up to him. And there were two of them. They caught him by the neck and then dragged him back. And when he came out, he's like a big, huge, 6-foot fellow. And, you know, there was no way he could have survived. And when these people saved him, then they said, give us some bakshish, you know. Give us some donation for saving you. He took out 150 rupees and gave it to them, which is peanuts. And they said, come on, you're giving us only this much? He said, in Radhesham Prabhu's book, Discover Yourself, the cost of the body is mentioned as 150 rupees. That if you add all the chemicals and all the elements together, this is how much the body costs. Take it. He was using philosophy to his good advantage. But the point is that unless someone comes and saves us, it's practically impossible once we are caught and trapped. Therefore, we are dealing with millions of souls who are trapped by Maya. And unless someone intervenes in their lives and saves them, therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to call them Naliya. In Bengali, Naliya means lifeguard. So he says, preachers are like Naliyas, are like the lifeguards. So many are drowning and they jump inside, catch the people and bring them out and save them. So even in the context of some of the biggest colleges and universities, we find that they are supposed to be giving knowledge, but there is not much knowledge in terms of what is the difference between body and soul. Prabhupada was in MIT, and Prabhupada said, the name of your college is MIT, but where is knowledge of the Almighty? Where is knowledge of the difference between body and soul? And last year I was giving a talk at MIT, and after the lecture I was taking a tour of the campus, and then I was seeing some of the notices they had put up, and one notice attracted my attention, and it said, wanted a volunteer, and the task was that they were making a sleeping pill, they were making some test runs on sleeping pills. So they wanted a volunteer to come and sleep in the lab from 9 at night till 6 in the morning. So then they would put him on, you know, different machines and various sensors, and they would monitor this, and they would use the results and the data for bringing out a much better quality of sleeping pill. That was the whole idea. And they said, you have to be here every day, 6 days a week, for the next 3 months, and we'll pay you $7,500 per month. What is the job description? Sleep at night. I think many brahmacharis would qualify. Because that's our sleeping time, at least at night. But the amazing thing is, for 1 year, they couldn't find a single candidate. Why? Because the candidates who showed up, you know, saying we are interested, they were not used to sleeping so early at night. You know, they were used to sleeping only with sleeping pills. So they would come and lie down on the bed and say, come on, sleep, I'm trying, but I'm not able to sleep. So then they didn't qualify, and there were many others who could sleep, but they said, okay, this is our party time, we're not going to come and sleep so early. And finally, one gentleman came from India with a lot of education loan, and he saw this, you know, and his eyes popped out, and he said, my God, $7,500 for sleeping? He said, I could sleep a few hours more, give me a little more money. And then the professor was telling us that we have so much of technology, so much of information, such advanced techniques, but we have lost touch with simple things. And the biggest amount of investment is going in the pharma industry is on antidepressants and sleeping pills. So you can see which way society is going. And Srila Prabhupada said that this Hare Krishna movement will save modern society in the darkest hour. And so this books are the basis, Srila Prabhupada's books. So this is also a very interesting principle. Another aspect which I was mentioning is Hare Krishna movement is engaged in distributing Naam, Harinam, the holy name. So Srila Prabhupada introduced the Harinam Sankirtan, that you go out and distribute this name. So the temple is supposed to be the place where people are supposed to come, associate, and participate in the chanting. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur compared the temple to a hospital, and the holy name to be the medicine, and the residents of the temple to be like nurses, and the guru or the acharya, or in our case Srila Prabhupada, is like the doctor. And prasadam is the diet. But most people are not interested to come to the temple. So therefore, like you have these ambulances or mobile vans, and they go out and give out the medicines. So like that, the Harinam Sankirtan means you go out and give holy name, Naam, to others. And that's like the essence of Srila Prabhupada's mission. So this holy name is extremely powerful, and it creates major transformation. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was in Fiji, and he was giving a talk, and at that time Fiji was going through a major famine, and there was no rains for months together. And he said, Harinam is the yajna for this age. If you do this yajna, there will be rains. And then one gentleman from the audience, he got up and said, "You mean if you chant Hare Krishna now, you can actually produce rains here? Is that a challenge?" And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, "Not if I just chant myself, but if all of you join in the chanting. And everyone chants helplessly, and we cry out to the Lord, this yajna will be successful and there will be rains." So confident. And all the devotees were thinking, "My God, we are finished. What if it doesn't rain? We're going to be beaten up." But he had so much of faith and so much of confidence. And they did a major harinam, which lasted for 2 to 3 hours. And everyone was dancing and chanting because, you know, they were expecting rains. And somehow, because of the power of the chanting, at night it rained profusely. And the devotees were relieved. You know, otherwise, many had already planned escape routes. What to do at night if it doesn't rain? And it rained so profusely, and next day morning, newspaper headline was, "Hare Krishnas, the rainmakers." And they got invitations from so many villages all over Fiji. "Please come to our village, do Harinam here, do Harinam here." So Prabhupada was in Hyderabad, and one reporter was asking Srila Prabhupada, "Swamiji, what do you think about the difference between Dvaita and Advaita?" Prabhupada said, "Right now Hyderabad is going through lack of rainfall. And what your Dvaita and Advaita, can it produce rain? Right now, the most important thing is do some yajna, please the Lord, and let us have rain so that you can eat. And if you don't eat, your brain won't work in Dvaita or Advaita. So therefore, chant Hare Krishna." There were other reporters also. Prabhupada said, "Any other question?" "There is no question." So immediately, Prabhupada changed the mood that just to indulge in all these kinds of, you know, nonsensical debates and talk with not much substance is of no use. So therefore he said, "Give them something substantial and tangible. Let them chant Hare Krishna." So we find that this chanting is the greatest gift. And when we are chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we are experiencing the difference. So many times devotees ask this question, "How can you know that you are experiencing taste in Krishna consciousness?" It is very simple. We won't be chanting our 16 rounds if we are not experiencing taste. So, example is given when you are sitting on a flight. So when the flight first takes off, then that is a substantial difference. You see, okay, I was on the ground and I see all these buildings, I see all these trucks and automobiles and other things. And then now it's up. So you see the difference initially. But once the flight is gaining altitude very gradually, you don't actually see much difference. Because you're just there, and according to the reference frame you're at, you're just seeing the stewards and stewardesses and all the other passengers are right next to you. Nothing much is happening. It's not that your neighbors are moving up and down. You know, someone is flying inside the aircraft. Everyone seems to be at the same platform. So this Hare Krishna mantra is like an airplane, and practically in the association of devotees, everyone is situated comfortably on this airplane, and we don't see much difference because we are staying with the same people all the time. So we may think nothing much is happening, but actually if you look down and then see at ground level, then you realize how much progress one has made, how much altitude one has gained compared to where one was before. So therefore we have to look back and think of the day one when we met devotees, when we actually started chanting the first round of Hare Krishna mantra, and where we were at the very beginning of our Krishna consciousness. And then we'll realize, okay, at least I'm chanting Hare Krishna and following the four regulative principles. And you know, if this goes on, then gradually everything will manifest. And it's not so easy that one is able to chant this Maha Mantra regularly so many rounds. Just like I was doing programs at the Bhaktivedanta Hospital for consultant doctors, once a month we have this program called Sanjeevani. Sanjeevani is like the Vedic elixir. You know, it creates kind of new life So we have every month so many consultants who come. So one neurologist I was trying to preach to, and he said, I cannot chant this, you know, Hare Krishna, because I don't have time at all. So I said, at least, you know, you chant, if not 16 rounds, chant 8 rounds. But I can't chant 8. 8 rounds means what? 1 hour? Are you crazy? I have hardly time to sleep also. I said, okay, at least you chant, you know, one round maybe. Said, no, impossible. Maximum I can chant is one mantra. So he began with one mantra, literally. You know, and this is in India. And he's from Gujarat. And he's born in Brahmin family. You know, so many qualifications. So he just started with one mantra, and then in 2 months period he graduated to 4 mantras. After 6 months he came to 8 mantras. After 1 year he came to 16 mantras, not mala, mantra. And after 3 years of preaching, he came to 64 mantras. You know, you cannot imagine. It was like, for me, it was Krishna was giving special realization of utsaha, nishchaya, dhairya, be patient and tolerant. From within, I would be boiling. And, come on, chant, man, what's your problem? The whole world is chanting 16 rounds. And then he would come and report also very proudly, I've been chanting very regularly. And he came and said, I've been chanting my 64. So another initiated devotee was there. He literally got a heart attack. 64? Doctor is chanting 64? I said, not mala, mantra. He said, oh my God. But I got a complex that I'm already initiated and never even tried that 64. So some people, they have so many excuses, and then they say, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. So we should also consider that it is only out of causeless mercy and great fortune that we are able to chant 16 rounds and continue chanting 16 rounds. And we should not take that for granted. In a research which was done by one agency, and they were interviewing all kinds of professions all over the world to find out which profession or which kind of professionals are the happiest, or in which profession people are happiest. So they interviewed all kinds of successful people, not so successful, in various professions across the whole world, across the board. And they came to one conclusion, which of course is already, we already know according to our shastras. But this is like an agency which actually did a professional research by interviewing, you know, more than 15,000 candidates all over the world. And they came to the conclusion that it is not money, it is not wealth, it is not status or the kind of powers you have in your profession which makes someone happy. They found that the happiest people, happiest professionals all over the world were the ones who were engaged in some kind of activity, some kind of profession which was based on, number one, service attitude, when they were serving. And the second principle which made them happy was when they had a feeling of gratitude towards their superiors or their boss or their organization or whatever. So gratitude and service attitude is what keeps someone happy. So when we first come to the movement, we experience that gratitude towards the devotees who helped us. And we are eager to serve also. But gradually, over a period of time, because we get so much used to this environment, familiarity breeds contempt. So the extent of our expression of that gratitude and experiencing that enthusiasm for serving goes down. So therefore, the other day there was a nice class at Bhaktivedanta Manor in the morning by Ramanuja Prabhu, and he made this point that whenever you are experiencing difficulties in spiritual life, you know, normally in any field, any profession, any coach, if he's a cricket coach or a football coach or any coach, he's coaching his the players or the star players, or sometimes star players go through off color, you know, off form, they call it, that they can't just perform like before. So the coaches always emphasize on one thing: go back to the basics. Go back to the basics. And the basics can never be wrong, and you can never go wrong if you're always sticking to the basics. But the problem is, over a period of time, because of coming under so many other influences and because of becoming successful in so many ways, gradually we start thinking that, okay, we could develop our own ways and methods and techniques which could be more efficient. And therefore, he was saying that, am I chanting my 16 rounds attentively? Am I studying Srila Prabhupada's books 1 to 2 hours every day? Am I doing some stipulated service in the temple or to the devotees on a regular basis? Am I having that feeling of gratitude towards the devotees and expressing that gratitude? So therefore, if we stick to these basics, we will find that what made us happy in the first few months or first few years in Hare Krishna will continue to keep us happy also. But the problem is that we change the steps. Krame krame payaloka bhavasindukul sthira hoya ghare yao na hao batul. Lord Chaitanya tells Raghunath Das Goswami that you don't have to try new tricks. If you are swimming, then what keeps you afloat in the first few meters is the certain movement of your legs and hands, right? After you travel 1 kilometer, you don't have to change your steps. You keep doing the same thing only. You don't think, oh, I've been doing these same movements, let me now jump up and down in the water. Maybe I'll travel faster. No. You just have to keep moving your legs, moving your feet, and moving your hands in the same slow motion. Keep doing it, keep doing it. People cross the English Channel. So it is not due to some, you know, new exciting tricks that happens, but the same steps, when performed consistently over a period of time, see you across. So therefore, this is a very important point that Prabhupada has given us, the very nice, simple methods. So Prabhupada has a brilliant statement. He says, Krishna consciousness is simple, but not easy. It's one of the classic statements of Prabhupada. Krishna consciousness is simple, but not easy. But because we are complex, we find it difficult. You know? All we have to do is sit in the flight. But the problem is, we are not patient. So we jump, we get out of the seat and start running in the aisle between the seats. And the stewards say, where are you running? To the destination. I want to go before the flight reaches. How can you do that? That's not possible. Just imagine if people are jumping in the corridors, in a train or in a flight. Does it make sense? The train or the plane will reach at its appointed time. All you have to do is have patience and not jump off. So therefore, Nama is very important. And also, of course, the third principle of distribution is prasadam. More than talk about it, we'll actually experience now since it's time. So Prabhupada has also given us this principle of prasadam. One pastime of prasadam I'll just mention, and that is that Ramanujacharya, you know, he was taking honoring prasad, the Mahaprasad of Ranganath Swami, along with so many of his disciples. Then after he finished his prasad, he went to the river Kaveri. This was on the bank of the Kaveri, and then he washed his hands. So there was a fish inside the water. It caught some portion of the remnants, a piece of rice from Ramanuja's Mahaprasad. And the fish immediately got 400 form. Right in front of all the disciples they saw. The fish got a 400 form and went to Vaikuntha. And the disciples looked at Ramanujacharya and said, Guru Maharaj, what is this? We are having your Maha every day. Not just once, but many times. So why is it that we still have only 2 hands? And when are we going to get our 4 hands? And Ramanuja said, the difference between you and the fish is that fish, it just honored the prasadam and did not make any offenses. So your problem is that although you're very close to me, but you are committing offenses. And because of those offenses, you are not getting the full benefit of the process. So that's the most important principle. So therefore, we see that when we have prasadam, when we have naam, when we have books, we have everything. But somehow the mind convinces us that there must be something more. There must be something beyond. And therefore we remain dissatisfied. Like Chandramouli Maharaj was in our Brahmachari picnic last year at Kerala. And he was saying in New Vrindavan, the Brahmacharis had hardly, you know, any nice prasadam to eat. And all they would be hankering was for some milk sweets. And so the pujari would try to lock up the milk sweets somewhere. But they would always go one step beyond the pujari and somehow steal it. You know. Some security systems in ISKCON temples never succeed. Especially when it comes to Mahaprasad. And then, you know, they upgraded the facility to lock it up. Still, the Brahmacharis were one step ahead. So finally, the leader of the community was so angry, he said, we are going to have a whole vault. So he brought this bank vault, you know, big, huge, iron vault with all these systems. You know, they found somewhere as a donation. So he said, we'll use this to store this maha. And that was used to store the maha. And the first night they did that, the next morning, the whole vault was missing. And then they found it in the middle of the forest and it had been exploded with a dynamite. So he said, that was like, you know, that's called taste for Mahaprasad. And he said, at that point, people were doing all kinds of extreme things, but still, you know, the whole mood was for something very simple, for prasadam, and, you know, still we were focused on basic activities. But then gradually over a period of time, when other desires started coming in, then all complexities began. So therefore, when our attitude is simple and our activities are simple, then we cannot go wrong. And Śrīla Prabhupāda has given us these most wonderful gifts. Nāma prema malaganti porela sansāri. Lord Chaitanya Mahāprabhu's gift, Śrīla Prabhupāda is giving to us and giving us the opportunity to become the instruments to give to the world, people who are suffering, determined to go to hell. And if we just give the holy name, prasadam, books, the knowledge of the Gita, the Bhagavatam, we don't know how much impact we can have on people's lives. And then many times when we see that impact on their lives, we are sometimes reminded, oh, this is the kind of impact I also had many years back. So it's always good to, you know, stay tuned with preaching, because preaching means you keep your gun or keep the sword sharp, you know, keep the instruments sharp. So therefore that will keep you free from complacency. So therefore I thought that on this occasion of Christmas, because I don't know much about the life and teachings of Jesus Christ and how it applies to Hare Krishna, so I thought I'll just stick to something which I have experienced myself to some extent, Śrīla Prabhupāda's mercy in the form of these three things. And I'm grateful to all of you for participating so enthusiastically in this year's marathon. I'm sure Śrī Radha Landanīśvara will be extremely pleased. This is the best gift, Christmas gift you can give to them, that you have delivered. And these books you have delivered to so many people, only time will tell how they are going to experience the effects of these gifts. And therefore it's a constant process. Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki
Jai.
Tai Gaur Premānande.
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki
Jai.